This is the SF Productions Podcast Network. How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, Episode 146. Can a comic collector of 20 plus years get his wife to read them? Will she let him keep them? Learn more in this podcast. Let's go to the comic book lounge with Mindy and Mark.
Well, thank you, Announcer Bot, and welcome to How I Got My Wife to Read Comics. I'm Mark.
And I'm Mindy. Just as a reminder, we have a new Facebook fan page. Just search for SF Productions Podcast Network. You can also go to sfpodcastnetwork.com for the feed, download old episodes, and get other SF podcasts and read our blogs. You can go to iTunes and search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, where you can please leave us a review.
And you can contact us through the website, Facebook, or email, sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Catch us on Twitter at sfppn, or call our voice line at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
And you could call us and tell us whether you like our new website. And on the new website, we are having a contest.
We are.
To enter, you can visit sfpodcastnetwork.com and leave a comment on the question of the week on the discussion board. Very easy. Or you can visit the Facebook page and hit the like button for SF Productions Podcast Network, or follow us on Twitter at SFPPN. Do all three and triple your chances to win.
And what can you win? Well, we have variant covers of comics. We have trading card, a box set, some DC posters, and the grand prize is a Blackest Night Power Ring Spectrum set. And you can see all the prizes on the website Photo Galleries.
And the prizes are from our good friends at Pack Rat Comics in Hilliard, Ohio. And here is a brief word.
As Announcer Bot says every week, I've been collecting comics for over 20 years, so I've been through quite a number of comic book dealers. And no one matches the quality and value of Pack Rat Comics in Hilliard, Ohio. Jamie and Teresa have your favorite comics in stock, along with action figures, statues, toys, and all kinds of comic collectibles, along with a huge lower level filled with long boxes of older titles at great prices. If you want a regular pull account, you can't beat Pack Rat's discounts. The more you buy, the greater your savings. Pack Rat is well-organized, clean, and welcoming to new customers. They also hold regular events and community outreach, including a mini convention for the upcoming Free Comic Book Day. So check them out on the web at packratcomics.com or call 614-527-8450 or just drop by. They're at 3864 Latimer Street in Hilliard, Ohio, open 7 days a week. I trust Pack Rat for my weekly comic book order, and so should you. Back to you, Mindy.
To repeat the instructions one more time, you can follow us on Twitter at SFPPN or retweet one of our Twitters. You can go to the Facebook page and like SF Productions Podcast Network, or you can go to our website at sfpodcastnetwork.com, go to the discussion page, and add a comment to any of the discussions there.
Now, there's not going to be a winner this week because we are taping this a little early. There will be a winner next week. So you got an extra week now to get your stuff in.
Exactly.
And this is a very special episode of How I Got My Wife to Read Comics.
Because we're not talking about any specific comics.
Right. We're doing a special episode about death in the DCU. And I found a quote from Frederick Wortham's Seduction of the Innocent, which is, of course, one of the books that was used to pretty much shut down the comic book industry, or just about, and why there's a Comics Code Authority back in the 1950s. In the book, he said, "A natural scientist who had looked over comic books expressed this to me tersely. In comic books, life is worth nothing. There is no dignity of a human being." Now, when comics began, only the bad guys died. And the Comics Code Authority basically made that official, that you had to make sure that good always triumphed.
Now, did that include, like, innocent bystanders never died?
Pretty much.
Okay.
It was rare you saw in the 50s and 60s, and the only people who died were bad guys. And it was usually not because they had been killed by the hero.
No.
It was because they had been hoisted by their own petard, as it were.
Well, isn't it true that Batman, when he first started, didn't have that whole no guns and no killing thing?
At the very
thing?
Beginning, he had guns, and they quickly got rid of that. But that was long before Comics Code Authority.
Right, right. Well, so they got rid of that idea before the Comics Code Authority.
Yeah, it was like 1940 was the last reference.
Okay.
Yeah, because they decided it was a bad idea for him to have guns. What would happen is sometimes the bad guys would change sides at the end. Their good nature would come out at the end, but that would be right before they got killed. There are a lot of Superman stories where there's this other villain and they're fighting, and then the villain sees some kid or something is going to get killed, and he thrusts himself into the fray, even though it will mean he dies, or that at the very least Superman's going to win and the villain's not. But again, a lot of the Comics Code Authority was pushing that type of thing. Now, heroes would die, but only in the imaginary tales. It was an imaginary tale. And you're saying they're all imaginary tales, aren't they? But these had an extra level on them that meant not only are they imaginary, they don't affect continuity.
Right. So they're outside of the actual ongoing story.
And it's the type of thing, again, because of Comics Code Authority, there was only so many things you could do in comics. And so they basically ran out of interesting things to do. And they're like, well, what if we did this? We can't do that. It's going to screw up everything in the continuity. And they said, oh, well, we'll just make it an imaginary tale.
Now, is the imaginary tale what led to, like, the Elseworlds and the 52 Earths?
Yeah, it's all predecessor.
Multiverse.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all predecessor to that. A couple stories I found, and these are both actually from 1962. One is that the death of Superman happened long before Doomsday. Issue titled Death of Superman in Superman number 149, Luthor convinces Superman that he has a cure for cancer. And so this was a book-length novel, which they called, another thing they called it then, was like several parts and was all one big story back when they had long, a lot of pages in a comic when it's like 48 pages or something. Superman ends up protecting Luthor throughout all this stuff to make sure that he's kept safe because they want to get the cancer cure. But he actually ends up tricking Superman into a death trap, and then Luthor kills him through kryptonite poisoning. And Supergirl, who at that point in the continuity had not gone public, she was on Earth and she was training, but there was like a year or two between the time she first appeared on Earth and the time she went public. So again, and in this imaginary tale, she goes public early because she has to stop Luthor. And so she ends up being the protector of Earth.
Now, would the public then realize that Superman or that Luthor was bad?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, because in fact, in that story, he broadcasts to the world his killing of Superman.
Oh, okay.
Because he has such a huge ego. And then they take him to jail and he says, you know, I'm going to get away with this without the death penalty. And then Supergirl shows up and takes care of him. Again, doesn't kill him because even in imaginary tales, you weren't allowed to kill the bad guy. There was also The Last Days of Superman. And I remember this one not because I had the original one, because it was in a reprint at one point. And again, another book-length novel.
Well, you weren't even born when
exactly,
it came out.
Exactly. Where he's almost killed. Superman learns he has Virus X, which he gets from this package that shows up in this rocket that also came from Krypton. Because apparently everybody and his pet pig on Krypton in the Silver Age was sending some sort of package as the Krypton was exploding to Earth. In this case, it's this terrible virus, and Superman gets the virus, which of course will kill Kryptonians because it's Kryptonian virus. He wants to make sure that Earth is safe even after he's gone. So he calls in all of his friends to pitch in to make what he calls the great deeds in his last 30 days before he dies. And so he goes into this huge projects where he digs these trenches to irrigate Earth's deserts. He creates an artificial sun for Antarctica,
which would generate the water to irrigate the deserts, apparently.
I think that's what it was. He also figures out that there are these future threats, and he gets rid of those now. Supergirl goes out into space and destroys this comet that eventually is going to hit Earth. They figure out there's this space fungus coming, and they manage to get rid of that. And so this thing goes on and on and on, and it is Mort Weisinger. So everybody is in this. The Legion of Superheroes is in this, and Crypto's in this. They're pulling out everything they can. It turns out in the end that Jimmy had a kryptonite fragment in the camera that he was using to document all of this, all of these events.
And that's what was making Superman sick?
Yes.
Ah. Silly Jimmy.
And in fact, the Virus X was harmless. Now, some other deaths. One from the Legion of Superheroes, as I mentioned. Lightning Lad in 1963. But of course, he came back later. Alfred Pennyworth was actually killed in 1964, but he also came back. Another Legion of Superheroes member, Pharaoh Lad, was killed in 1967. And then, of course, Iris West Allen was killed in 1979.
But didn't they kind of retroact that to she went into the future or something?
Yeah, exactly. So it didn't really count. So basically, death was a very rare event until the crisis on Infinite Earths. And since the goal of that crisis was to clean things up in the DCU, they went through and cleaned out things by killing these characters that didn't make any sense anymore.
When was the crisis on Infinite Earths?
85 to 86.
Okay.
12 issues. Some of the characters who were killed, Aqua Girl, which I barely remember.
But now there's another Aqua Girl.
Yes, of course, because you got to keep those copyright names going. Dove of Hawk and Dove, the originals. Lori Lamaris, who, of course, was one of the many, many LL characters in the Superman mythos.
Now, she was the mermaid.
She was the mermaid, yes.
Okay.
The Earth 2 Huntress, the Earth 2 Green Arrow, and the Earth 2 Robin. And they had to get rid of them because it really didn't make any sense when they merged the Earths during the crisis. Or you would have had two Green Arrows and two Huntresses and two Robins running around. So they just got rid of them.
And since Huntress was in Earth 2 was like the daughter of Batman.
Bruce Wayne, right.
It really wouldn't have fit.
Exactly. And that's why they had to get rid of them. But the big two, of course, during the crisis on Infinite Earths were the death of Supergirl. And that, by the way, is the album cover art for this episode. And Barry Allen Flash. And pretty much most of them in some way or form have all come back. Or they never left because they were duplicates.
Even some of the ones that died, didn't they come back? Even the Earth 2 ones?
Right.
In a way?
Yes, because they reintroduced Earth 2 recently.
Yes.
So then death became more common after the crisis on Infinite Earths. Some of the others, this was interesting, I thought. These characters were all killed in 1988. Black Orchid, Celsius, Cat Matui, and Mechanique. These are all women who are all women heroes who were all killed during that 1 year. Apparently somebody was having trouble at home or something, and the editorial staff like, let's kill some women. I don't know.
Now, that was not the Black Orchid. That was the Vertigo Black
Orchid. Right. Yeah, so that was the original one.
Black Orchid came back in Vertigo then later.
Exactly.
As sort of a different character.
Right. Then in 1989, we had Death in the Family. So Jason Todd, who was Robin at the time, DC felt that people didn't really like the character. And so they set up a 900 number. And this is the first time anybody had ever done this. This is back when 900 numbers were big. To vote to either kill him or let him live at the end of this storyline. He ends up losing his life by 200 votes. And I think we talked about this at one other point on the show. But there are theories that it was supposedly rigged because DC wanted to get rid of the character and this was just an excuse. And he ends up getting killed by the Joker. And then, of course, the big one, 1993, Superman number 75, Doomsday, the death of Superman, the armbands, blah, 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 all that. And then he came back very, fairly quickly. But in the same year, and this is something we just mentioned on two episodes ago, was Eclipso had a series, and this was in issue number 13, same year, 93, where he kills off, in one issue, Peacemaker, Major Victory, the second Wildcat, the second Dr. Midnight, and Creeper.
Okay, so the second Wildcat, but now the first Wildcat is here, right?
Right. But in that at that point, this is when the JSA members were off in Valhalla.
Right. Now, the Dr. Midnight that's in the continuity now is not Dr. Midnight the first.
No, he's the...
He's like Dr. Midnight the 19th or something.
He's like the third now. Because both the Wildcat and Dr. Midnight, the second versions, were both women.
Hmm.
Yeah. Again, it seems to be a pattern. Then we had Zero Hour, 1994, and this was kind of a secondary cleanup from the Crisis on Infinite Earths. They wanted to fix the things they'd screwed up during the Crisis, and in that point, they killed off the Golden Age Dr. Midnight, the first Dr. Midnight, and the Golden Age Adam, Al Pratt.
So isn't Al Pratt... No, it's like Al Pratt's grandson or something
yes,
now.
Yes, yes. Okay. Is Adam Smasher.
Yes.
Then we get to the 2000s, and from 2000s to today... And the deaths skyrocket. I found a page on Wikipedia that lists who was killed in the DCU, the characters. Although most of these characters came back in one way or another, and that's kind of one of the things that really happens, is characters rarely stay dead. But the number geometrically went up during the 2000s. I'm going to list this group of characters. These are not just all the characters. This is just what I would consider more major characters who were killed by year. 2000, Sarah Gordon, who is Commissioner Gordon's wife, now widow, and the Golden Age Starman. In 2001, Hitman, Maxima, and Steel. In 2004, Captain Boomerang, Jack Drake, Sue Dibney, Firestorm, and Spoiler. 2005.
Well, I'm going to interrupt.
Yes.
Some of these people weren't really killed.
Exactly. Exactly. Right. And in fact, some of these are people who weren't actually killed.
Okay.
But
they appeared to die.
And for a period of time, they were dead, as far as the DCU was concerned.
As far as the characters in the DCU were concerned.
2005, this is when Max Lord kills Blue Beetle, the Ted Kord Blue Beetle. Death of Phantom Lady and Max Lord, when he's also killed. 2006, Psycho Pirate, Star Sapphire, the Earth-2 Superman, the Connor Kent Superboy, and Wave Rider. 2007... Aquaman, Elongated Man, Isis, Trickster, and All the New Gods. 2008, Jonathan Kent, who's, of course, Clark's adopted father. The Newsboy Legion, Karate Kid, Martian Manhunter, Zatara, and Zor-El, who is Supergirl's actual father. Because they came back because of the whole new Krypton thing.
Right.
But then he was killed.
So... When were all the Kryptonians killed?
Well, that, I didn't even list that.
I know. That's what I was thinking. That's 100,000.
That's around 2009. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was also in 2009, Kid Devil, Johnny Quick, and Tempest. 2010, the Ryan Choi Adam, Cyborg Superman, Magog, Prometheus, and of course, Leon Harper, the daughter of Roy Harper, killed this innocent little girl, which made a huge ruckus. And then just what we've been talking about in the last couple episodes, the Jamie Rees Blue Beetle, maybe he's dead, maybe he's not. We don't know at this point. Basically, in the 90s or in the 2000s, you really couldn't have a crossover event without death, without a lot of deaths. I mean, these were the names of some of the events that went on through the 2000s. Armageddon 2001, Worlds at War, Identity Crisis 52, Countdown, Infinite Crisis, Final Crisis, Blackest Night. And now I mentioned most of these people have come back. And in fact, Brightest Day brought back the 12.
Except that then they already got rid of, like, Hawkman and Hawkwoman
again. They're already wiping some of them out. Throughout this, I didn't count Hawkman and Hawkwoman. Because they always come back.
Used to
you
come
know
back.
They'll come back.
Well, except that they're not being reincarnated anymore, supposedly.
Supposedly. So why are there so many deaths in comics? Well, number one, death, at least as far as they're concerned in the business office there, sells comics. And there's also a Dan DiDio loves death as internet meme. This is something that's constantly mentioned at conventions. It seems like he introduces characters just so they can be killed, in some cases on the same page that they're introduced. I've added several links to the SF Podcast Network website under Mark's favorite links, all about Dan DiDio and killing DC characters. And there's just a lot of them. And I have to think that this isn't just a terrible thing to do to the current readers, especially kids who are reading this stuff. But you're removing characters you could use years from now. Now you say, well, the characters come back, or somebody else becomes that character, what's the difference? But you're kind of chopping the history of DC off at the knee by doing this. And it's another reason, I think, why the sales of comics continue to drop. I mean, I'm talking all about DC, but Marvel is just as guilty of this. As DC is.
Well, like I said, I probably will take a break from DC Comics should they kill off the Blue Beetle again.
Right.
It makes me mad that they make me like a character, and that character is a remarkable character.
Right.
if they kill him off, I'm going to be angry.
And not to mention that he was part of the effort to try to bring more diversity to the DCU, Hispanic character. So it's just a terrible thing to do. It's something that DC really needs to look at. They made a big deal at the end of Blackest Night of, well, from now on, dead is dead. If we kill a character, they're not coming back. And it's like, yeah, until you do.
Until you have to, because you have nobody left.
Yeah,
because
you've used up all your characters. Also want to tell you, there's no Who's on the Cover this week. Sorry, because we are taping this in advance. But we do want to remind you about the contest. And again, here's the deal on that. You can visit sfpodcastnetwork.com, answer the question of the week on the discussion board, or just put anything on the discussion board. You can visit the Facebook page and hit the like button. And that is, of course, SF Productions Podcast Network. Just search for that. You can follow us on Twitter at SFPPN. If you've already followed us, you can retweet. You get more chances to win that way. So again, Facebook fan page, search for SF Productions Podcast Network. Go to sfpodcastnetwork.com to get the feed, download old episodes, get other SF podcasts, and read our blogs, or go to iTunes and search for How I Got My Wife to Read Comics, and please leave us a review.
You can contact us through the website, Facebook, or email sfpodcastnetwork@gmail.com, or catch us on Twitter at sfppn. Call our voice line at 614-321-9737. That's 614-321-9SFP.
And thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.